And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Did you know that according to the Jesuit Superior General, he says that Jesus approved men marrying other men and women marrying other women? That's what the Jesuit Superior General says. Maybe we should believe him. He's the Black Pope, they call him. This was in a recent interview with Vatican journalist Giuseppe Ruscani. Yes, Father, even though the Bible says call no man Father, the Catholics still do it, you know. But Father, I always clear my throat when I say that. Arturo, I'm going to get his name right here. Arturo Sosa Abascal says Jesus' words have been mistaken. And so we're going to learn about that today. In fact, we're going to learn about a lot of strange things. Weird stuff today. You know, this is More Secrets. I like to call this volume Weird Stuff because, you know, my friend Freeman, he just goes by the name of Freeman. Maybe you remember him. I did the video about Codex Magica. There's a video about that, you know. And we sit down for about 60 minutes and had a good time. But Freeman has written a book now, and he sent me a copy of it called Weird Stuff. Now, we're not offering it in the ministry because Freeman's not a, you know, he's not a Christian, but he's a good man. And I'm praying that he will become a Christian. Would you pray with me on that? You know, we need all the good men we've got in Christendom. Because there's a lot of people disguised as good that are evil. And this book, I think, is a little misguided in some areas. But it's a colorful book, and he tells us all about magic. Magic in the book Weird Stuff. Well, in any case, we go from the Jesuit Superior General. Oh, boy, this is really rich. To Weird Stuff, and more here on More Secrets. That's right. Last week we did a volume of secrets, but this week is going to be another volume because I've got so many secrets and I got to get them out. I just can't keep them inside. Now let's go right away to that Jesuit Superior because I have to laugh. Here's a picture of the guy, and he has on his fancy, robe, you know, and it's got a big sun sign on the front of it. Now, here's what the article says. It says the new superior of the worldwide Jesuit religious order said recently that Jesus' words give us no basis for a black and white church doctrine centering on lifelong marriage between one man and one woman. He says if we read Jesus' words, we might think that, but he said the words are often misinterpreted by people. And the way he reads Jesus' words, and he must know, he's the Black Pope. Come on, folks. I mean, get down and get on your knees and bow to this guy. He knows stuff. Oh, man. And he's got a boss, Pope Francis. He knows stuff, too. I think they both know weird stuff. Maybe I better ask my good friend Freeman to write about them in his next book. But anyway, the Jesuit Superior says that human reality is much more nuanced. Now, he said it doesn't make sense to him to read Jesus' words and believe what he said. I like to read into him what I think they said. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Don't read Jesus' words and believe what they say or what he said. But when you read Jesus' words, interpret what you think they mean. And he says that Jesus is totally misunderstood. Now, for example, take these words in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, have you not read that he who made them in the first place, this is the Catholic version, but it's pretty accurate, made them man and woman? For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will live with his wife. The two will become one. So they are no longer two, but one. Let no man divide what God has put together. Now, he says that there was nobody there to record Jesus' words. So this is just what the writer of the gospel thinks he said. We can't trust that. That's what the writer thinks he said. You know, Matthew. But Matthew was probably mistaken, says the superior general of the Catholic Church. He says, at that time, no one had a recorder to take down his words. So, therefore, the words of Jesus must be contextualized. Oh, yes. They are expressed in a language in a specific setting. But the words mean nothing in particular. It's the meaning that we give to the words today. Well, of course. It doesn't matter what Jesus said, what Matthew recorded. It's probably wrong. So how do you read it today? That's what's important. And Abascal said this. He said, over the last century in the Catholic Church, there has been a great blossoming of studies that seek to understand exactly what Jesus really meant to say. He says, the gospel was written by human beings, so it's true that no one can change the word of Jesus, but one must know what Jesus wanted. You see, don't believe the words you read. Ask yourself, what was Jesus trying to say? Now, ask whether he is questioning Jesus' words. Abascal said, no, not at all. I agree with Pope Francis. One does not bring into doubt Jesus' words. I simply tell you what he meant to say. I mean, come on, folks. This is Big Brother's double-mindedness, isn't it? Yeah, Jesus said that, but that's not really what he meant. When he said, you know, a man and a woman become one, what he really meant was a man and a man can become one, and a woman can become one. Now, Matthew didn't take those words down, but, you know, that's Matthew. You can read it yourself and figure out what Jesus meant. Because Father Abascal is so intelligent, so smart. And you got to believe what he said and Pope Francis. He says the final decision is based on your judgment relative to different hypotheses. That's it. You got to know all the hypotheses. You know, I mean, Jesus might have been talking about a man and his dog. You don't know. It could be. A man and his dog become one. He could be talking about a man and his grandmother. I don't know. He said you've got to use discernment. The final decision is based on your judgment. And Abascal said that Matthew did not mean the word of Jesus, but the word of Jesus that we have interpreted it. We must have discernment. Discernment may lead us to a total different conclusion. There you go. See, do you have discernment, friends? Then when you read Jesus' words, you say, oh, he didn't, you throw them out. Now, this is sort of like the Supreme Court of today. They take the law and they say, you know, I read the law and it says that, but you know, I don't think it's true. Oh, I know the founding fathers or the Congress or somebody may have said that. But I've got discernment. I'm a judge. I wear black robes. And I just have discernment, and I believe it's totally opposite of what it says. So let's take the law and let's trash can it. And I'll give you the real true words of the law. Now, they're not written down anywhere, but they're in my head. And I'm a judge. You got to listen to me. And then they go right on. That's why, you know, when I was going to college, I majored in political science for my bachelor's degree. And they made me read a book called The Living Constitution. They said the Constitution was not, you know, a document written by dead white men. No, the Constitution was alive. It's changing all the time. And every time the Supreme Court meets, it's going to change more. Now, I was sort of young back then. But even I didn't buy that stuff. I said, wait just a minute. If the Constitution and the law don't mean what they say, how can we trust them? Well, because we're judges, and we will tell you what they said. But wait, what you say is different than what the law says. Well, of course, that's because we believe in the living, breathing Constitution. It's right in this book by Mr. Stanley Corwin. He was a great, great man of the law. That's why the court came up with, you know, that a man can marry a man. Now, our founding fathers, they would have been aghast to think of that. I mean, they would have went out and jumped in the ocean and said, I'd rather jump in the ocean than allow that. But you see, they were such uncouth men. They were, you know, even though Thomas Jefferson, you know, I've read books about Jefferson. And he lived in a place called Monticello, a beautiful estate, which he, by the way, designed. You see, he had read many books on architecture and was an architect. Oh, you thought he was only a politician. Oh, no. He wasn't a politician at all. He found politicians stupid and dumb. And he was president, you know, for a while. And he said, even the media is stupid. He said, the newspapers have nothing of value for me. Wow. Sounds a little bit like President Trump today. The fake news. Evidently, the fake news was alive back then, wasn't it? But Father, I keep getting choked up when I say that. Father Abascal, sort of rhymes with rascal, doesn't it? Father Abascal says the church has always made personal conscience a priority. Now, if your personal conscience tells you you can marry a dog or another man, if you're a man, or a woman, if you're a woman, well, you should listen to that. Don't listen to Jesus' words. He says, doctrine is a word that I don't like very much, says the Jesuit superior. Now, I want to say that over. Doctrine is a word that I don't like very much. So that's why anything goes, whatever he says. And he's the black pope. You have to believe this man. What? Are you telling me you don't believe him? Are you telling me you don't believe in your Jesuit superior? Well, I'll be. Jerry, there's some people out here. I'm hearing them outside my windows now. They're beginning to rattle and groan and moan. They don't believe the Jesuit superior. They must believe Jesus' old words. I'll bet you the people complaining about this today are saying that this guy can go straight to blazes. They're going to believe Jesus anyway. They're old fuddy-duddies. That's what they are. That's what you are, friends. You're an old fuddy-duddy. And I'm going to keep it secret, but I am too. I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I read, and I just believe what Jesus said. Now, you know, Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 sort of talked a little bit about this kind of stuff. It talks about Jesus Christ in chapter 1 of Galatians. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Wow. According to the will of God and our Father. First of all, that's how Galatians starts off, praising Jesus Christ. In verse 7 of chapter 1, no, well, verse, let's take verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I'm just marveled, he said. Instead of listening to Jesus Christ who saved you with his grace, you've been told by others, you've been called to another gospel. And you're believing this other gospel. That's what this Jesuit superior is doing here. Verse 7 says, which is not another, because there is no other gospel. That's what he's saying. Which is not another. There is no other gospel, he's saying. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's only one gospel of Christ. He gave it to us one time. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He gave it to you one time. If he could change the gospel, then you wouldn't be saved. What if Jesus says, you know, I think I didn't like going to the cross. That hurt and it was very, very, very bad. I'm not going to let that save anybody else. The blood of Christ will not save you from now on. That's my new gospel. Well, you couldn't trust him anyway, could you? You couldn't trust him. He may change again tomorrow. I mean, you don't know. But you can know. But this man, this Jesuit superior, and by the way, Pope Francis is a Jesuit. He's in the Jesuit order. Paul says there's some that are troubling you, and they've brought another gospel in. They're perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says something important. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Did you get that, friends? If anybody comes to you, even an angel from, and they say, I'm from heaven, and I've come to tell you that I want you to understand there's another gospel. Paul says, let that person be accursed. This man is cursed. This Jesuit superior is cursed. He is the black pope. He has a black heart and he's trying to lead other people into sin and degradation and he's leading them straight to hell and he's a hellish man. Then Paul, as if to emphasize this, verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again. He's emphasizing it to you. I told it to you before and I'm telling you again, he says. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said it twice. Let this man be accursed. He's trying to change the gospel. He said you can change it in your own mind. The words mean nothing. Doctrine, he doesn't like doctrine. This guy is a devil. This Jesuit superior. Paul in verse 10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? If you don't believe God's word, well, that's just too bad. I'm telling you what God's word is. I'm not trying to persuade you of what you believe or what you think or what's right. I'm telling you what God said was right. And he says, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Even if all the men in the world said, yes, you're right, Paul. We can marry other men. We can be homosexuals. We can do all that stuff. Sure, we can lie. We can cheat. We can steal. And it's all okay. That's part of the new gospel. And Paul, you're the greatest pastor in the world for preaching that. That's Rick Warren and Joel Osteen. They bring all these false gospels to people and they have huge crowds. They're pleasing men, but they're not pleasing God. Don't think for a moment God is not overhead watching those devils preach. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. The gospel I preach to you is not from man, he says. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. No man taught me this gospel, but Jesus Christ. That's why I know it's true, he says. Well, okay. enough of the Jesuit superior. Boy, I tell you. Oh. Well, there's a movie star out there. I guess she's very popular today. I don't know. That she has some program on HBO called Girls. Now, it's a smutty, dangerous, terrible program. I've never watched one episode of it, but you know, sometimes I read about her. Here's an article. And evidently, they have a new a season coming up in this woman named Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham. Now, recently, she said she hates Donald Trump, and she got so frustrated because he got elected that she went out into the forest and talked to the rocks about it. I hope the rocks answered her. I don't think it was a rock. It may have been the serpent behind the rock. But in any case, in this new episode of Girls, evidently, she gets pregnant. Now, I don't know if she knows who the father is because she has sex all the time in that serial feature on the HBO named Girls. But here's the plot, basically. I don't want to get into it heavily, but I want you to know about it. Her unborn baby is called a parasite growing inside her. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the April 2nd episode. If you missed it, well, don't get it. Don't go look for it. But it was the April episode of HBO's Girls. And she hears from her gay friend, Elijah. Naturally, they'd have to call him Elijah. Another actor. That the baby she is carrying is a parasite growing inside her. Boy. Boy, boy. So they go look for an abortionist together. Someone who can kill the parasite. You know, that's what Planned Parenthood considers. That's what all these women, they talk about reproductive rights. What they're really talking about is murder of little babies. Murder. Because you see, it's not a baby. In fact, now it's moved from even the fetus stage. They don't even talk about it being a fetus. It's a parasite within you. They have no respect for the creation of Almighty God. They hate it. They despise what's growing inside of them, and they got to get rid of it. It's a parasite growing in them. Man. Oh. You know, I've heard it said, and I've never said it because I think it's sort of blasphemous in a way, but maybe it's right. If God allows these people to live, if he allows these people to say these things and not be punished, then God would have to go back and apologize to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah for burning them to a crisp, destroying them with flames. Sure he would. I mean, what these people are doing, we've gone to a stage in life where things are worse than they were at Sodom. They're worse in the days of Noah. I mean, they've grown incredibly bad. And now it seems like everyone is hostile to the Christian religion. Why, they prefer the Islam. They said, give us Islam. We don't want this Christianity anymore. Give us Islam. That's what they're saying. Boy. Well, reading an article recently about California's leader of the Senate. Now, he must be a very wise man to be leader of the Senate in the state of California. And his name is Kevin De Leon. He's a Democrat, naturally, from Los Angeles. And he gave a testimony before the California Public Safety Committee. And in his testimony, here's what he admitted. He's the head of California's Senate. Now, you would think a man would have a little bit of wisdom to be head of the Senate in America's biggest state, California, wouldn't you? But, well, I'll report, you decide. Here it is. He said, quote, half of his family is residing in the United States illegally. Half of his family, and he said, I have a very big family. Half of the family is here illegally. They are illegal aliens, undocumented migrants, or what do they call that now? By the way, a former top assistant to Romney, remember Romney who ran for president on the Republican ticket? I called him one time. I was this man. He was going to. If Romney had won, he'd be in the White House today. He'd be a top assistant. But I mentioned. I used the word illegal alien. He said, "Oh no, don't use that term. We don't use that term on the Romney team." I said, "You don't?" "Oh no. We don't. We call them undocumented. We don't call them illegals." I said, "Well, that's what I call them. And I'm going to continue calling them that because they're illegally here in America." Oh, he got so mad at me. He said, "Well, you're just like Attila the Hun." "I'm just like Attila the Hun." Boy, you know, people love to call me names. I'm just Tex Mars. I'm from East Texas, a little town. But you know, I think that sort of raises my importance. For a big old Romney guy to call me Attila the Hun. I'm Attila the Hun. Actually, Attila the Hun was a pretty important guy back then. Boy, everybody was frightened of him. He was killing people left and right. I've never killed anybody. I don't know why he would call me Attila the Hun, but he did. And then the World Zionist Congress said, because of my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, that I'm a, quote, notorious anti-Semite. All I did was quote all the rabbis. If you quote all the rabbis and you do it accurately, you're not supposed to do that because they don't want the Gentiles to know what the rabbis teach in their synagogues. And so they call me a notorious anti-Semite. I said, "Well, what am I notorious for? Quoting the rabbis truthfully?" "Well, you're just, ooh, ooh." Now, you know, I'm going to make a little list. Let's say I'm a notorious anti-Semite. And of course, I'm Attila the Hun. And, of course, I've long been a conspiracy theorist. That's the worst you can be called. I'm also a climate change denier. Yes, I'm a denier. I don't believe in climate change. Well, I do. It changes every day. I wake up in the morning. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a sunny day. I believe in climate change, but not like these idiots do. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean idiots. I mean, anyway, Kevin De Leon says half of his family is residing in the United States illegally. And half of my family, he says, possesses false Social Security cards and false green cards. He's head of the Senate, but he says half of his family has falsified Social Security cards and falsified green cards. Wow. He admits it. Well, when we return in just a minute, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Mr. De Leon. He says half of my family would be eligible for deportation under President Donald Trump's executive order because they got a false Social Security card. They got false identification. They got a false driver's license. They got fake driver's license, folks, is what he says. Fake Social Security card, fake ID cards, fake green cards. He says, you know, almost entirely everybody has secured some kind of false identification to survive and work. They're all eligible for massive deportation. Now, this quote actually came from a hearing to make the state of California, they were debating a law, to make California a sanctuary state. And the senators told Mr. Leon that that's good. All these fake IDs and fake green cards and fake driver's license, that's all good. You're all going to be protected in California because we're going to make it a sanctuary state. Oh, boy. Incredible, folks. He's sort of like the superior general of the Jesuits, isn't he? He's a big fake. Fake, fake, fake. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some more fake news. I'm having fun today. Are you having fun? I hope so. You're listening to A Volume of Secrets. This is More Secrets. I'm Tex Mars. We'll be right back. Hello again, folks. I'm Tex Mars. My newest book is entitled Feast of the Beast. Feast of the Beast. It's about 100 pages long, but I'll tell you, it's the wow. When you read this 100 pages, it'll change your life because it's the truth about Judaism. But it tells about the last days. In the Bible, if you really want to know the truth, go to the Bible. You can read there in the book of Daniel. And, of course, in the book of Revelation, all about the last days. And the Jews decided, well, we need to talk about the last days too. These Christians, they're all grooving to this last days stuff. Why, we need last days theology too. So they came up with their own theology and they put it in their Talmud and they put it in their Kabbalah. And the rabbis are teaching in the synagogues, and I decided, well, Christians need to know what the Jews believe about the last days. And you know, they've taken a lot out of the book of Revelation, and they just change it around and, you know, added a word here or there, a name here and there. And they come up with their last days. They got a scenario for the last days. They're gonna bring forth a great cataclysm on earth. And their Messiah, the Holy Serpent, is going to make all Jews into gods. And then they will go forward. They will burst out of Israel and the places where they're at. And they will have all the Gentiles arrested. Well, they'll be brought into the police stations and such and asked questions. And if you agree to renounce Jesus and to believe that the Jews are superior and their blood is a superior type, then you'll be saved. But if you don't, well, what does Revelation 13 say? For those who don't take the mark, they cut off their heads. And the Jews say, we're going to cut your head off. If you don't renounce that Jesus, we're going to cut your head off. Well, you know, I found that very interesting. I thought people should know that. So I put it in a book. Feast of the Beast. You see, they believe that once they take power on planet Earth, a Jewish utopia will have arrived. And they're going to have a big feast to celebrate the utopia. I mean, they're going to have a giant feast in which the serpent will come and lay down and give his life for them. Oh, yes, he will give his life for them. And they will all partake of the serpent. The serpent beast. He's in Revelation 9. He's called, well, Apollyon. And he's also called Abaddon, the destroyer. He's going to lay down his life for the Jews. You know, in the occult world, if you kill somebody, if you sacrifice them, their energy imparts into you. You get their energy. Remember the man who shot John Lennon dead? He believed that he would become the new John Lennon. He would have the power, the energy force of John Lennon. And that's what the Jews say. We will eat the snake and we will become the snake. Wow. It's preposterous. It's idiotic, but it's true. And I've decided to write it and quote all these rabbis because they don't want, the Talmud says, to the Jews, do not teach the Gentiles of our religion. If you teach them the Talmud, you're worthy of death. But I'm not Jewish. I am a Gentile. And as a Gentile, I think I can teach anything I want to. Jesus told me to preach the truth. And that's what I do. Now, some people say the Jews are very humanitarian. They're wonderful people. They would never, ever do anything like that. Why they believe in mitzvahs, that's good works. Well, let me read to you what Rabbi Ishmael Levitz has said. Ishmael Levitz, a very wise man. He's got a beard. That makes him twice as wise as me. I shave every day. I should let my beard grow long and scraggly. I don't even have a beard. I could be so much smarter. And if I got me a little black hat, and I wore a little black coat, and I had glasses, and I sat in a chair, and I rocked back and forth like the Jews do, that's when they're really, teaching. Actually, they believe they're having sex with the goddess. That's part of the Jewish religion too. But in any case, here's what Ishmael Levin said. I mean, you've got to believe this guy. He's a rabbi. He's so much wiser than you and me. Don't you believe him? Just like you believed in the Jesuit Superior General. I mean, that guy's the Black Pope. We all got to bow down. Let's bow down to this man here. Here's what he says. It is in the Jewish interest. He's telling you what's in the Jewish interest. It is in humanity's interest. He's telling you what humanity needs. That white people, experience a genocide. Ooh. Now, Jews do not think they're white. They say, we're not white people. Our blood is different. Our blood is divine. You goy, you Gentiles have, bad blood. We are superior. So he says, whites need to experience a genocide. Until white children are burned alive, until white women are raped, mutilated, murdered, and all white men who have not been slaughtered watch powerlessly as their people are terrorized, only then will mankind be on a more equal footing. We will then be ready to discuss white privilege. You see, he says white people have a chip on the shoulder and they need to be taught. And the only way to teach them is to murder their women, murder their children, commit genocide, rape them, and all. You can do all these things. That's Rabbi Ishmael Levitz. Boy, goodness gracious. And then they get mad at me because I write books on it. Just me quoting this to you is a horrible thing. What am I trying to do? Am I trying to get you to dislike this rabbi? I must be. I should not tell you this at all. I should not tell you what Rabbi Ishmael Levitz said because you're not going to like the man. And I'm looking at this picture here, and he's got this big old gray beard. And Now, I read these same kind of things in Protocols of Zion, but then the Jews tell me the Protocols of Zion are a fake book. So then I throw it in the trash can and I go get the real writings of today's rabbis and they say the same thing as the Protocols of Zion. So now I don't know what to believe. You know, it's sort of like Groucho Marx. Remember him? When I was a little kid, he used to be on TV. I never watched him myself, but old Groucho said one time he cheated on his wife. He said he was on the couch kissing this other girl. I guess that's all he did, you know, just kiss her. He's on his couch. Kissing her. His wife walked in. She said, how dare you? He said, now wait just a minute, dear. Wait just a minute. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. She said, I saw you kissing that woman. He said, well, are you going to believe me or are you going to believe your lying eyes? That's the question I have for you folks. Are you going to believe Tex Mars or... You're going to believe your lying eyes. I think you can, you know, I believe you can read. I believe you can research, you can go to Google and research this yourself. And then your own lying eyes will have read it. But you have to admit, your eyes don't lie. Your eyes are telling the truth. That's what the Jews believe. And that's what I put down in my book, Feast of the Beast. I want you to have this book, just $15, at $5 shipping and handling. Ask for Feast of the Beast. Who is the beast? Well, that's Abaddon. They have another name for him. His name is Leviathan. He's the great sea serpent that rises up out of the sea. The beast that rises up out of the sea. Well, that's in Revelation 13. They're actually trying to copy Christianity, aren't they? But the difference is we believe a beast is evil. They believe the beast is good. Well, they're going to have a big feast in which they consume the beast and become the beast. We're going to have a feast too in heaven. The Bible says there's going to be the banquet of Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes will be invited to the banquet. I believe that's allegorical. But, you know, could be true. Might be. I believe Jesus. Don't you? Well, okay. $15, add $5 shipping and handling. You can call us up toll free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Just say, text, send me that feast book. I'll know what you mean. And in fact, everybody here will know what you mean. We have some wonderful people been working here a long time. They care about you. They really do. I hear all the time people say, well, so-and-so called and said this. And, you know, they love you. And I do too. We've got a great audience. A great audience. And you deserve to know the truth. And that's what we do here. We provide you the truth. You know, if I don't provide you the truth, that's when I deserve punishment. Boy. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to heaven. And Jesus says, you didn't tell people the truth. Man, that would be bad. That would be so bad. So I just tell the truth and I'm happy. I wake up in the morning, I smile. People think I'm a notorious anti-Semite. I'm Attila the Hun, and I'm just go around mean and grouchy all the time. But I think even Wanda loves me. Don't you think she does, Jerry? She does. Yeah, even Wanda loves me. Wanda, of course, is my beautiful wife. And you know, you gentlemen out there, if you don't believe your wife is beautiful, why did you marry her? Why did, you know, you're just a selfish pig. Come on. You must believe your wife is beautiful. You married her. She must have liked something about you, you big galoot. See there, Jerry, I'm going to get in trouble. You know, I had a real good friend, a Christian lady. I don't want to get off subject here, but we went to this church and we listened to it. And then we went to dinner together, Juan and I, and she and her husband. She said, I was so angry at church today. I said, really? What were you angry about? Oh, the preacher told that joke. Now, folks, he told a joke about this this ugly woman. And, you know, it was a funny joke. I thought it was funny. He shouldn't have done it. You don't ever talk about an ugly woman. Don't ever do that. There are no ugly women in the world. That's what I believe. But he did. He did. He messed up. He talked about this ugly woman. And about this guy marrying her. And this lady got angry. I said, well, he was just joking. It was just a joke. She says, you shouldn't joke like that. Well, she was serious. She really got angry about it. That's why I have never joked. I don't care how lovely they are. I'm not going to get into it. And you know, Wanda's the same way. If I say anything, you know, she says, well, our next door neighbor, you know, so-and-so, you know, if I said, well, she's not the prettiest woman in the world, Tex, don't say that. You know, Wanda's so nice. She's so sweet. Everybody loves her. They do. They love her. They think I'm an old grouch. You know, I'm an old meanie. But they love my wife. I don't know why. You know, I guess she is sort of sweet. She's the sweetest. Well, our Power of Prophecy webpage is powerofprophecy.com. You can get Feast of the Beast and many other books on there. Many books. Including The Bad War by M.S. King. That's a bad book. That was banned just like my book was by Amazon. Ooh. Because Mike King told the truth about World War II. Yes, you can get that book for $25, I believe. It's a great big book. 246 pages, but it's big. One of these big books. As for The Bad War. You know, a lot of people say World War II was the good war. What? 50 million people died. I don't think it was good at all. But anyway, read The Bad War, a history book, very interesting, by Mike King. Our address, of course, here at Power of Prophecy is 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. If you've been listening to us a while, you probably have that memorized because I say it every week. It's on all our news letters masthead. And by the way, if you're not receiving our newsletter, when you order anything from us, we will give you absolutely free a subscription to it. Let's return to our regular program today. Now, we only have about 15 minutes. I've got a few more secrets to reveal here. I told you I would tell you about the fake news media. And, you know, I was reading about a man named John Swinton. He was a famous editor-in-chief of a newspaper that's now gone out of business years ago. Now, John Swinton died back in 1901, but he made a great statement. He was known as one of America's greatest journalists back in the late 1800s. And he actually talked to the press. And here's what he said. Now, listen to this, folks. This is what John, we got to bring this up today. You know, everybody's talking about fake news. And boy, the media, they're a bunch of liars, aren't they? Well, listen to what John Swinton says about fake news. He says, quote, "There is no such thing in America as an independent press, unless it's out in country towns. You are all slaves." Now, he's talking to reporters. The best reporters in the country have come to this big conference. And this is what he says to them. "There is no such thing in America as an independent press. You are all slaves. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to express an honest opinion. If you expressed it, you would know beforehand that it would never appear in print. In fact," says Mr. Swinton, "I am paid $150 for keeping honest opinions out of the paper I'm connected with." He says they're paying him $150, which must have been a lot of money back then, to keep honest opinions out of the paper. "Others of you are paid similar salaries for doing similar things. If I should allow honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper, I would be like Othello before 24 hours. My occupation would be gone. The man who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the street hunting for another job. The business of a New York journalist is to distort the truth." That's what he said. "The business of a New York journalist is to distort the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread, or for what is about the same, his salary. You know this, and I know it, and what foolery to be toasting an independent press. We're the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our time, our talents, our lives, our possibilities are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." End quote. Ah, yes. Thank you, Mr. Swinton. I suppose he was put on the cross and crucified after that speech. That was John Swinton. Whoa, what a truth he told. Hey, this book is weird stuff. And Freeman sent me a copy of it. It's a magician's practical guide. Now, you know, magic is very interesting. It's all about magic, by the way. It has a lot of interesting things, and I've read some of these, but he has some fascinating things. We're not offering the book. I'm sorry. I guess you could get it at Amazon. Weird Stuff Magazine Presents Operation Culture Creation Part 1. That's what it is. Weird Stuff Operation Culture Creation Part 1. He says that's how culture is created. The culture you see around you. The culture of television and movies and cartoons and all kinds of things. It's created for you. Yeah, this is what they want you to know, and so they make you into this. And you become the culture. Now, get that. There are people behind the scenes pulling the strings. Behind the scenes pulling the strings, says Freeman. And you are the puppets. You are the marionettes dancing. And they've got you dancing because they own the culture. And they use magic to entertain you, to keep your mind entranced. They know how to use magic. And I thought about that. Wow. Now, I discussed that a little bit in my book, Robot Alchemy, how robots are basically magical. They're magical. But their minds are shaped by human beings. Well, that's what he says. You know, you're like a robot, says Freeman in this book. And your mind is shaped by other people. You don't even know who they are, like Mr. Swinton just talked about. Isn't that interesting? There's only one way out of this. And by the way, boy, you go down into a rabbit hole in this book. It really is fascinating. And there's stuff here I don't agree with, and it's not Christian, and I wouldn't offer it. But, you know, Freeman does tell the truth from a magician's viewpoint. He says, what is the secret that masters of industry pay tens of thousands of dollars to hear from the elite members of Illuminati societies? Wouldn't you like to know, friends? Well, Freeman's going to tell you. This is the secret that masters of industry pay thousands of dollars to hear from the elite members of Illuminati societies. It is, he says, that reality is built from thought, and it behaves in accordance with the expectation of the observer. This is the driving force behind concepts such as the law of attraction, which argues that thoughts, both conscious and unconscious, can affect changes in the material plane. The secret in this case is that our imagination gives birth to creation. Wow. That's what the word magic means. You create reality from your thoughts. Now, that's what the Superior General, the Black Pope, said, wouldn't it? Don't read what Jesus said. Think it. Think what Jesus meant to have said. Oh, if you pay attention to his words, you're into doctrine. And he doesn't like doctrine. You see, you're not magical enough. If you were magical enough, you would know that men can marry men. And women can marry women. And I suppose dogs can run around and be friends with cats. I don't know. Well, I made that up, but anyway. Magic. That's the secrets, the masters of industry, they want you to believe in these secrets. Now, it's an amazing thing, but God tells us to use your brain very carefully because of this. These people, they teach you what the secrets are. They teach you what reality is, what you are to believe in. You are to believe that our founding fathers wanted men to marry men. Of course they did. Not. But here's what Philippians says, and Freeman puts this in his book too. It's pretty good. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Wow. Isn't that great? That's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Think about these wonderful things. Now, there's evil in the world. We've got to be aware of it. Be aware of it. Know it. And the Bible says have no part. Don't have anything to do with the workers of darkness. That's the workers of magic. But think about these wonderful things. God has given us all these wonderful things. But let's see what the bad people have said here. Magic is a science, says Aleister Crowley, the British Satanist, is the science and art of causing change to occur in conformity with the will. Do what thou will. Use your will to create change. Whatever you want a Cadillac, you want a Lexus, a Mercedes. Well, you got to think it into existence. You want a beautiful woman to be your wife. Well, you got to think it. You know, one person told me they were a member of this group that was selling things. I don't know what products it was. And the man said, we went to this seminar and they told us we should fake it till we make it. I said, what did that mean? Well, we've got to pretend, buy nice clothes, buy a big car, and go around and tell everybody we're getting rich and from selling these products and everything. And if we tell them enough, they begin to believe it, and we believe it, and we become rich from our own mind. That's the secret, he says. Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. Isn't that sad, folks? Isn't that sad? Those people must be miserable. They must be miserable. But the Apostle Paul said, no matter what state he was in, even if he's in a dark, dank, musty prison cell, he said, I'm happy. I'm contented. And he asked first, he was in a prison cell, and he asked his friends, just bring me a few books. Bring me a few books I can read while I'm down here. Wow. just wanted a few books to read in his dungeon, in his cell, and that would make him happy. He knew the real meaning of life. Wherever Paul was, he had Jesus with him. The kingdom of God was with Paul, even in a dungeon. He had the kingdom of God. You too can have the kingdom of God within you. The hope of glory. The kingdom of God is not out there somewhere. It's within you. I do know we go to heaven when we pass from this existence. We leave this body behind. But I want you to know something, my friends. The millisecond that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you are instantly a citizen of the kingdom of God. And no one can take you from that kingdom. No one can take it from you. Now listen, friends, I've been around a long time. I'm over 70 years old. My dad died at 72. My uncle died at 73, I'm sorry. I got up one more year. I'm their age. I may die too. But I already know something. I learned it a long time ago. I learned what Paul did. Whatever condition, whatever state I was in, I'm happy. I'm thrilled. I'm delighted. Well, your car broke down. Well, that's okay. I'll get it fixed. What if you don't get it fixed? Well, I'll walk. I'll get there. I'll thumb my ride. I'll get there. I got friends. I'll call them up. Maybe they'll pick me up. Maybe they won't. I'll be okay. Because Jesus is watching over me. And Jesus has always watched over this ministry. We founded it in 1986. Over 30 years ago now. 31 years. And you know, we have wanted for nothing. Oh, I could have made myself unhappy. I had three number one best-selling books. I could have said, well, I want 10, Lord. I could have gotten miserable. But God says, well, haven't I gave you every book that I wanted you to write? I said, yes, you did. He says, haven't they been read by everybody I wanted to read them? I said, well, yes, they have been. That's why Amazon, they can't ban my book. They can't throw it down some magic memory hole and say it's forgotten forevermore. No, because God, did you know that our book sold triple the amount last month? Holy Serpent of the Jews, triple. We sold triple the number of books, but it's been banned. You can't even find it on Amazon.com. They said, we have decided to cancel your book and we're not going to sell it anymore because of its content. Well, I almost did a jig. I said, that's great. If they can't sell it, I'm going to have to turn to the real sales agent. The sales agent that's beyond what anybody can imagine. He's the best sales agent. He doesn't even receive a commission. He's already got all the commission in the world. His name is Jesus Christ. He's going to sell my book because Amazon said they won't do it anymore. So you can buy my book from the ministry here. Holy Servant of the Jews. I think it's still at BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. I've just told you a big secret. The big secret is when you're in the kingdom of God, God will do miracles for you. Is that weird stuff or not? Well, it's not very weird. I think it's just honest common sense. And it's great. It's great stuff. God will create your culture for you. He will tell you what to believe, what to think, what to do, how to act. He'll give you a wife, a husband, he'll take them away, whatever he wants to do. But you'll be happy about it. I promise you. I'm Tex Mars, my friends. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.